Hello and welcome to We the People. At the best of times, the relationship between India and Pakistan can be described as complicated. It's sometimes adversarial, sometimes warm, but almost always extremely complex. But as the two states, the two governments of India and Pakistan work out their issues of history, of safety, of security, what about a simple humanitarian issue? That of prisoners on either side of the border. All kinds of prisoners, prisoners of war, untraced since 1971. Fishermen who stray into each other's waters by accident and end up in each other's jails. And civilian prisoners who are often labeled as spies. Are these people literally prisoners of hostility? Or do we need to separate the categories and look at each category separately? And I'd like to start with Justice Karju. You were a leading mover, as it were, when it came to the release of Dr. Chisti from Pakistan, who was in fact convicted in a murder case. But you intervened. You said that it had taken 18 years. He was an old man. He was not well. Let the case go on, but let him go back home. And that's effectively what happened. Why did you, as a judge, feel the need to intervene on behalf of somebody who had been described by other sections of the government as a convict?
I would not like to comment on the merits of the judicial case because it is still pending in the Supreme Court. It would not be proper. Though, with due respect to the verdicts of the trial court and the High Court, I have grave reservations about the correctness of those judgments. Because Dr. Chisti is not an ordinary man. He is a PhD from Edinburgh University. He is the top virologist in Pakistan. He had come to India to meet his ailing mother in Ajmer. Some incident happened with some collaterals. There was some firing. Somebody was killed.
So you intervened because you were convinced of his innocence? Or is it because, irrespective, you felt it had been 18 years, he was an old man, and let him go home and let the case go?
Both. He has been in India for 20 years. He was granted bail, but there were very stringent conditions that he could not go back to his home in Karachi for more than 20 years. And I felt that this is enough, and now pardon should be granted.
Okay, now this is the story of Dr. Chisti, but it raises many questions. KC Singh, what does a government do? There are simpler cases, and even those take years, when it comes to fisher folk. Even those take years, and it's considered some big CBM for either government to release them. But when it comes to cases where the courts of the country find people guilty, what does the other government do?
See, firstly, as a general principle, the relationship between the two countries going through its ups and downs, we tend to treat prisoners as hostages. By the same time, you must have treaty-based arrangements between the countries. You can't have ad hoc treatment of each case just because television brings it up or one judge takes up a case is not the way to deal with it. And that's why getting pardons, etc., is very difficult. So we must have, I've said this before, a transfer of prisoners agreement.
Irrespective of any kind of prisoner?
No, a transfer of prisoner merely means that the prisoner is allowed to go back to his country to serve the rest of his sentence.
What would happen to Ajmal Kassab?
No, we'll come to that in a bit. Yeah. So transfer of prisoner, it's an agreement which we have with various countries. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have with Pakistan. So that each time we don't have to start asking for pardons, political intervention, waiting for prime ministerial visits, president of that country coming to Ajmer. I mean, it should not be
subject. But not charges related to terrorism.
Yes, that would be in the agreement.
Yeah, quickly, because then I'd like to go to Pakistan and General Thapliyal. Yeah.
See, Ajmal Kassab's case is very different from Sarabjit Singh case. In Kassab's case, there's no doubt about his guilt. He was caught red-handed. Whereas in Sarabjit Singh's case, the evidence is extremely weak. Perhaps you have not even seen.
But what Mr. Casey Singh is saying is that putting aside perhaps complicated cases where the charge is terrorism, at least to start with, can there be a transfer of prisoners agreement between the two countries? Javed Jabbar, let's go to you first, joining us from Karachi today. Not just are you a former federal minister, you were also, interestingly, the producer of a film called Ramchand Pakistani, based on real facts of a little child and his father who strayed across the border accidentally and how they lived apart from their family for years. Mr. Jabbar, KC Singh makes a suggestion here, a transfer of prisoners policy between India and Pakistan. Could that work, Javed Jabbar?
I think that in principle, such an agreement is worth exploring and concluding. And without exception, you know, terrorism has become a buzzword, but it is quite possible that governments are capable of transferring a crime that is otherwise triable under some other sections into a terrorism-related offense. So one has to be cautious about such an agreement not wholesale excluding the so-called blanket concept of terrorism.
So you're agreeing to that extent with KC Singh, but interestingly, you say that terrorism is not a charge that can be left out of the ambit completely of such a transfer of prisoners agreement. But Hamid Mir is also joining us from Islamabad tonight. I want to ask you, Hamid Mir, even though KC Singh warns us that you cannot drive policy based on isolated high-profile events, you said controversially that Sarabjit Singh was like India's Ajmal Kasab, whereas Sarabjit Singh's lawyer and Sarabjit Singh's family have argued repeatedly that this was a case of mistaken identity. Hamid Mir, why are you so convinced of Sarabjit Singh's guilt?
Because I have met the families of victims who were killed in the bomb blasts in which Sarabjit Singh was involved. And I have also spoken to some police officials. And this is the verdict of the Supreme Court of Pakistan.
I have read all the evidence. No, no.
But
the Shaukat Saleem, the principal witness, said that I give the statement under police pressure. He
this is the verdict of the Supreme Court of Pakistan.
What kind of verdict?
I cannot go against the Supreme Court. Okay. I don't want to fight with you.
1 minute. Justice Kaju, 1 minute. Hamid Mir, here's my question. You say, rightly so, your courts have convicted him. And that is the tricky question I want to raise here. Because Dr. Chisti, I'm not drawing a comparison, he was also convicted in our courts. But on a humanitarian basis, the same Justice Kaju sitting here intervened strongly on his behalf. What do India and Pakistan do when they find that people have been convicted by the other country's courts?
I fully endorse the suggestion made by Mr. KC Singh. Secondly, I must say that both India and Pakistan, first of all, they should stop arresting the innocent fishermen. They are actually the prisoners of political hostility between India and Pakistan. Majority of the prisoners in India and Pakistan, they are innocent.
Yes. You're saying,
but we are not bothered about them. We are more bothered about Sarabjit Singh and Ajmal Kasab.
Let me interject there. You're saying that the focus, first of all, should be on poor fisher folk. It's a no-brainer. Release them. Casey, one line and then we'll go to Obeshik.
Yeah. You see, the point is that there is technology available today where you can delineate your economic zones where they're allowed to fish. So why doesn't your Coast Guard patrol those areas and make sure that the fishing boats don't come across?
Obeshik, you're representing Sarabjit Singh, but you're also representing many other Indian prisoners languishing in Pakistani jails. And there are similarly hundreds of poor Pakistanis and fisher folk, especially in Indian jails. Your comments, sir.
First, I would like to express my views about on the comments of these two gentlemen.
Yes.
Mr. Singh said that agreement is to be made. If agreement is not made, the situation will remain be the same.
He's saying it a transfer
is,
of
yes, agreement. This is not the case. I tell you, in my case, Lahore High Court passed the order for the release of 32 Pakistani Indian prisoners who have completed their term of imprisonment. Similar order was made in India, but that order have not been implemented. And now coming to my friend, Mr. Hamid Mir, I'm sorry to say I have a respectful disagreement with you. You do not know the case at all. And don't say please, and don't injure the feelings of the people of India and the people of the world that you don't bother about Sarabjit. Yes, they bother about Sarabjit. The whole world bother about Sarabjit. This is the case of mistaken identity. This case cannot be compared with any other case in the world over.
Let me just stop you there.
I am not here to fight with you.
You never allowed me to complete my sentence.
One minute, please. One at a time. We are here to talk about people in jail and their tragedy. Let's just keep it civil. Hamid Mir, I'll allow you one brief rebuttal.
You see, the problem in Pakistan is that whenever Pakistan released some alleged Indian terrorist or spy, when he was in Pakistan, he always said, I am innocent. When they were released, after going back to India, they accepted. They tried to become hero. They said, yes, we were working for RAW. We were spies. So this is the problem in Pakistan. You should also be bothered about the victims who were killed in Pakistan in the bomb blasts. Who killed them? You are bothered only about Sarabjit Singh. Why you are not bothered about those people who lost their lives in the terror attacks?
Okay. Please. No, wait one second. This show is not only on Sarabjit Singh. It is on a larger principle of what happens when...
But you started this debate.
No, this is one element of the debate. It is certainly one element of the debate. Javed Jabbar, can I get your perspective before we talk to Sarabjit's family? But there are many other families here who have suffered in other ways. But I think the complaint that they're making is that these become high-profile cases and the other families... The other tragedies never get reported.
I think we need to step back a little from our partisan respective viewpoints as nationals of both countries and take note of the fact that we are living in a world of very hypersensitive nation-state sensitivities and sensibilities where borders have become sacrosanct even as the advance of globalization takes place. And it is not confined only to two nation states that may have an adversarial relationship.
But the issue, sir...
So let's not make this...
But the issue...
Let's not make this a... Yeah, I know. I'm coming to that. I would then submit a second point, that as part of a new agreement that is broader, which ensures that during each stage of the trial of any suspects... The High Commission of that host country from which that prisoner comes must have the right to participate and observe each stage of that trial.
Okay.
And to be have access to the evidence only when the host, the original country's government is satisfied that the trial has been conducted fairly, then there be a meaningful transfer of prisoners agreement. Trial.
That's a concrete suggestion there. Main Dalbir ji aapse puchna chahungi, aap gaye bhi Pakistan, wahan Sarabjit Singh se aap milke bhi aaye, to ab aapko kya umeed hai ki kabhi aapka bhai wapas aa payega?
Main to pura vishwas rakhti hu apne Ishwar ke upar ke aur karodon Hindustaniyon ki duaon aur ardaason ke sadqa ki Sarabjit zarur wapas aayega aur apne Bharat sarkar par bhi mujhe pura bharosa hai ki वे जिस तरह से बात जरूर करेंगे और जरदारी जी पर मैं खास करके हामिद साहब जरूर विश्वास रखती हूं कि जरदारी जी कभी भी नहीं चाहेंगे कि भारत के साथ मेरी जो दोस्ती है वे टूटे. लेकिन यहां एक बात मैं आपसे जरूर हामिद साहब कहना चाहूंगी कि जब मैं पाकिस्तान लास्ट ईयर आई थी तो आप ही के एक रिपोर्टर ने मुझसे भी पूछा था कि दलबीर साहब मैं आपसे ये पूछना चाहता हूं कि आपने रॉ एजेंसी से कब से ट्रेनिंग ली है, क्योंकि आप अच्छा बोलती हैं. क्या अच्छा बोलने वाला इंसान भी एक एजेंसी का एजेंट होता है? इसी तरह से मेरा भाई भी आपने जब आपकी पुलिस ने फंसाया है ना, इस बात को किया है, तो उसे भी रॉ एजेंट का है. आपके यहाँ पर किसी ने भी उसे नहीं पहचाना, उसने किसी भी अदालत में माना नहीं. और जो सुप्रीम कोर्ट में केस खारिज हुआ वो इसलिए हुआ कि हमारे वकील सब पेश ही नहीं हुए थे, और हाई कोर्ट ने इसलिए खारिज किया था कि सरबजीत सिंह ने अपने सरबजीत सिंह होने के तमाम सबूत अदालत में पेश नहीं किए. पेश वकील साहब ही करते, वकील साहब तो हाई कोर्ट से लेकर सुप्रीम कोर्ट तक गए.
आपने एक इम्पोर्टेंट बात रेज की कि सरबजीत और सुरजीत को लेकर जो कंफ्यूजन थी, जो सुरजीत सिंह वापस आए, जनरल थपलियाल, इफ आई कैन गेट यू हियर, ही एक्चुअली केम एंड ही सेड यस आई वाज अ स्पाई. नो स्टेट, एंड लेट्स, आई एम जस्ट गोइंग टू से इट ऑन दिस प्रोग्राम बिकॉज़ नोबडी एल्स इज गोइंग टू एडमिट इट ऑफिशियली, कंट्रीज डू सेंड स्पाइज इनटू ईच अदर्स कंट्रीज. व्हाट डज द स्टेट डू व्हेन समबडी कम्स बैक होम एंड सेज I'm a spy? Under Justice Karju's bench when he was a serving judge, Gopal Das, another man who claimed to be a spy, actually went to the Supreme Court and said, give me compensation. Now, this is a big, tricky question. No state can admit to having sent spies, and every state in the world does it.
You see, you cannot then restart the whole process. You've sent a guy across as a spy, he's come back, and he's claiming compensation or whatever. But I don't think any state can even admit, let alone give him compensation. And that is how it will be done. Nothing can be done about it. Nothing should be done about it.
Yes.
Intelligence agents will be the first category of those who may be recruited by a government who are on their payroll.
Yeah.
Further down will be all kinds of people who do it on a contractual basis. Now, during the Cold War, Soviet Union and US, they exchanged spies many times. They own people spying. They did sentence to death. But if they caught the other guy's spy,
they send them back.
Quite often they exchange.
You're saying spies could be covered under a transfer of...
It's a political decision. It's
Justice
an entirely
Karju,
different
what does the state do with somebody if one of our own is convicted or arrested on charges of spying?
If he's just spying, a lesser punishment is given. If he has committed a bomb blast in addition to spying, the situation becomes different. Now, Mr. Hamid Mir said that what about the victims of the bomb blast?
I agree with him. Of course, if he has committed, Sarabjit has committed the bomb blast, he should be given harsh punishment. But the point is, the evidence shows that it is a false case.
You know, the Sarabjit case is a symbol of the kind of battles we are locked in between two countries. So, Hamid, a quick rebuttal from you.
I don't want to fight with your guests because I am the person. When the government of Pakistan was saying that Ajmal Kasab is not a Pakistani, I said he is a Pakistani. So if I can say that Ajmal Kasab was a Pakistani, I can also speak truth about Mr. Sarabjit Singh. But Barka, I am more concerned about those prisoners in different jails of India and Pakistan who have not committed any crime.
Yes.
So we should, you see, we should concentrate more on these people.
There is another category of prisoners whom actually have been forgotten in a sense by history. Do we do enough to help them? And I'm talking about prisoners of war. 54 Indians and 18 Pakistanis said to be prisoners of war, untraced since 1971. Simi Varaich, if I can start with you. You have spent much of your life trying to get some news on your father, who you believe was taken POW in 71. And you have been among those who even went to Pakistan to try and look for him, came back with no news. You believe that the last word on this has not been spoken yet. Why is that, ma'am?
Well, the thing is, I think the POWs, I think we should call them missing in action, actually, are a completely different category from the other prisoners.
Yes.
And the thing is, they have not been acknowledged by both countries. Pakistan has always said that we do not have any missing in action personnel. Why do we not in India have a separate missing in action cell which has an agenda? We examine the evidences. Like, for example, I mean, how can you ignore a letter by Major Ashok Suri, who wrote to his father in 1975 that there are 20 officers with me here and I'm all right. Please contact the Indian government for our release to his father.
What keeps you going all these decades? Because you have been to Pakistan.
You know, it's the doubt. When I see that letter, you know, you need certainty. You need closure. The thing is, what about 99? There were two sepoys who were captured on the Kargil border. And for 5 years, the Indian government did not know that they were there. And Musharraf, when he came for the Agra summit in 2000, said that we do not have any defense personnel in our jails. Mm. And those two were there. And when we went in 2007, the Indian government actually told us Satyabrata Paul was the Indian ambassador. And he said, you should take Musharraf's word.
You mean that our government tended to believe that there are no more prisoners of war?
See, the thing what is sad is that we did not want to go to Pakistan. We said, we are civilians. How are we supposed to find out about missing defense personnel? It is the government's job.
And did you go around the jails?
See, no missing defense personnel can ever be kept in a civilian jail. They're kept in undisclosed locations. This is something our RAW and the government knows very well. So why did they send us there?
Wing Commander Graver, you were actually taken prisoner. Tell us what happened.
Well, I was flying out of Amritsar and attacking a field called Shorkot Road. And I was shot down, so I ejected and I landed on the ground and I was captured. And I was taken, as they call POW, and I spent one full year there. And I was exchanged with the prisoners of war in 1972, 1st December 1972. I want to explain to the people here how a pilot becomes a POW. Now, when a pilot ejects, mind you, he's all by himself. There's a chance of him getting seriously injured during the ejection. In India, especially in the Punjab region of India, as well as Pakistan, where most of the fighting takes place, the moment you land on the ground, you are grabbed by civilians.
When you ejected, you landed in a village in Pakistan,
right outside,
among civilians.
Right outside the airfield, about half a kilometer, I'll say, and the villagers are on me in no time, and they thrashed the hell out of me. Luckily for me, the soldiers were like half a kilometer away. They came running. So the moment the army guys came, the civilians ran away. Within 10 minutes, they had me in a jeep, open jeep, blindfolded, handcuffed, drove me all the way from Shorkot Road to Rawalpindi. And I was put in front of the press. Now, what I want to highlight here is, once a pilot lands, he could be killed by the civilians. So what I'm trying to say is, most of our POWs who are in this list, believed to be in jails, could be well dead.
I can only imagine, sir, what you went through, and we're glad you're back safely. But if I could take this to Sonia Fateh, as a Pakistani journalist living in Delhi, married to an Indian, that gives you a very very unique perspective on what we're talking about today. And I read an article by you where you spoke about the prisoners of war issue, but you said if there are 54 families of Indians, there are also 18 families of Pakistanis who you believe are untraced.
Yeah.
What has happened all these decades that prevents us from at least finding closure on this issue?
Well, I think one of the reasons I tried to put the Pakistani POWs in was I found that there was a very strong movement of people in India trying to find their families in Pakistan, but not much from Pakistan trying to find their families in India. And I think that's kind of, I put it together in a piece because I wanted to say, let's get away from this, you did this to us, we did this to you. And if it's only if we see it as a common problem that we can address and have a collective kind of a response to it, because our governments have been at this for a long time.
But is part of the problem that no government will actually acknowledge that they have prisoners of war anymore?
Well, I mean,
the thing is,
look at it this way, that they may have been kept as spies. Some of them may have become, mentally unstable. And what he says, I completely agree with. There will be people in the list who would have died. There are many people who go missing. It's not only 54 or 18. There are probably 300, 400 people who went missing. Why are only these people on the list? There are some evidences. My father was seen being captured alive. Ashok Suri, according to the Indian Army, was dead. But this letter came back in 1975.
Can I take this?
Be verified.
You're saying that even if your father in this case is no longer alive, you need evidence of that.
See, there are some people who, we can try and locate their bodies where there is certainty. There are Air Force officers who have said, we know the locations where pilots have crashed, we can help you trace the DNA and all. Why is our government ignoring it for so long?
Hamid Mir, history carries its own wounds. And for the families sitting here, as well as for the families of the 18 Pakistanis whom Sonia Fateh has flagged, this is a live issue. Why does this issue have such little traction between our governments?
I personally think that both India and Pakistan should immediately release all the prisoners of war. And I want to make a suggestion. You and me and other people in media, we can play a very important role. If you can give me the list of these 64 Indian prisoners of war to me, and I can give you the list of the Pakistani prisoners of war to you, and the media in both India and Pakistan should start a movement for the release of all these prisoners of war. So I think that we can put a lot of pressure on both the governments, and they must be released.
I'm saying what Mr. Hamid Mir is saying. If the photographs can be flashed on the screens of the television channels in the two countries, and maybe even an award announced, because there would be prisoners who have been released from different jails, they may be willing to give information because they might have seen these people in the jails.
Why do you need that?
Because there is such lack of trust.
I am ready
to do
that.
They are not kept in civilian jails.
The question Simi is saying is that they are not in civilian jails, and can anybody get access to the military jails? Javed Jabbar.
I'm in the remarkable position of agreeing with both my Indian and Pakistani friends at this time. But please remember that there are four distinct categories. Civilian innocents, civilian suspects, military personnel, and those already convicted. Each of those are four distinct categories.
Yes.
And we've got to remember that all states, like human nature, have a dark and duplicit dimension. So what I suggest in our case is the formation, as Hamid Mir has very usefully suggested, a media initiative. Expand that to include civil society, the legal sector, civil human rights activists, and on the lines of the Joint Judges Committee, which worked effectively in the last few years, I think we need to revive that.
Colonel Bhatia, before I take a break, you have spent a lot of your time actually helping and talking to the families of the POWs. What have you found is the overwhelming need among the families of the POWs? I would imagine it's need for closure.
Barka, I'd like to highlight few things. Unlike Kassab, POWs are not criminals. They are fighting a war, and capturing POWs is a very legitimate activity of an enemy country.
Yeah.
Second thing is, the POWs are governed by Geneva Convention. We had war in 1962 with China. Our prisoners taken by the Chinese were released within 8 to 9 months of the war. But here, 71 war prisoners are still languishing in Pakistan.
I have the list with me POWs, but no government is going to acknowledge. Very good question that you asked. Why the government? Unless the government are willing to release them.
But here's the problem. If no one is acknowledging their existence, Justice Kaju, what do you do with a daughter who wants to know, is my father alive or dead? And if he is no longer alive, please let me find a way of knowing that for sure.
Well, I spoke to some Indian foreign ministry people. They say they have spoken to the Pakistani authorities, and the Pakistani authorities said that we don't have any prisoners of war in Pakistan.
And we also say the same.
Yeah. And we all, now what can be done?
That's what Musharraf said in 2000.
But why don't you believe it?
I want to understand
from you, Simi, other than the 1975 letter which you have spoken about, why don't you believe it?
But how can you ignore a letter which has come from an Indian army officer? It's the Indian government's responsibility to trace the letter, where it came from. Come on, if we have Pakistanis in our prisons, we are not going to say that we have Pakistani officers.
Before I take a break, point being made here is, isn't that the message you need to send? That you need to go all out to find out what happened to these men?
Exactly. The point is that we've been much too nice to Pakistan. Sorry for... Pakistanis were here, my apologies to them. Much too nice. 93,000 prisoners returned without anything getting back in return. Why didn't we at that time said, all right, everybody who's a prisoner there must be returned before we return these prisoners. We didn't do that.
So you're saying we've been too soft.
Much too soft.
Okay, I do need to take a break. When we come back from the break, the human tragedy, the story of a mother whose son was mentally unstable and ended up in a Lahore jail. From Karachi, the story of a woman whose three brothers are here in India and she doesn't know how to reach out to them. Coming back after a quick break. Whether our civilians and our soldiers and our poor fisher folk have become prisoners of hostility between India and Pakistan. Before we return to our panel, let's take a couple of questions, sir.
In our country, we are still developing, as we say. There is no identity, there's no proof that, yes, I'm a Pakistani or I'm an Indian, so I'm a civilian. So how do you prove that you are an innocent person to the other country?
It's a good question, because often they're poor people. They don't have the wherewithal to hire lawyers sometimes to prove their identity. A couple of more questions here. Yes.
Yeah, I want to know the amount of money we are spending on upkeep of these innocent prisoners against the backdrop of grueling poverty in both the countries, and compare it with the goodwill that can be generated across borders by releasing these prisoners.
Question.
On an account of negligency and complacency by the Indian government on POWs in Pakistan, can the government of India be prosecuted or pursued in the court of law?
Can I take this to KC Singh? The perception among relatives here that the government hasn't gone out on that last mile when it comes to POWs,
I think there's a valid point that even if India says we don't have them, or Pakistan says we don't have them, they must at least establish what happened to them.
Yeah.
That is something both governments can do. You can't just throw up your hands and say, I doubt the Indian army is capable of holding someone without the
So that closure is a moral responsibility to provide it.
But we can't say Pakistan army could have done it, army couldn't have done it. That doesn't help.
Can I ask you this, Simi, and again, I don't mean to be insensitive, that is it in the end that families, like a daughter like yourself, seeks, the sense of closure, that perhaps so many decades later, maybe some voice in your heart says your dad may never come back home again alive, but you still need to know what happened.
Yeah, I'm totally willing to accept that. I mean, this happens in wars, so that's okay. But the thing is, it's the uncertainty of it. What if someone was kept back there? I mean, look at the people who've come back. Surjit Singh came back after 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you know? Some of our men may be there under Muslim names. My father's name is Varech, which is such a common Pakistani name.
Justice Kaju, when you said that you made inquiries and, you know, you just came across this one standard response, that there are no POWs. Now, the point being made by KC Singh is that at least one must know what happened to these men.
Listen, a war is a very horrible thing. In wars, often people, the soldiers disappear and nobody can say what happened to them.
So millions of people were arrested. There's a record of the fact that they were arrested.
I spoke in particular about one lady, Damayanti Subeda, the badminton national champion who became Damayanti Tambe, having married Flight Lieutenant Tambe, because she's like a younger sister to me. So I went to the foreign ministry people, Indian foreign ministry people, and I said that she says that her husband is still in a Pakistani jail. Now, the Indian foreign ministry people say that we contacted about Flight Lieutenant Tambe, and the Pakistani authorities say, no, he's not with us.
Flight Lieutenant Tambe and me, we were in the same squadron operating out of Amritsar. He got shot down the very next day after I was shot down. About around May, June, the Swiss Red Cross people, they came with a list of POWs from both the countries. And they had little evidences, like piece of the overall, piece of the helmet, somebody's shoe written against the name. And they wanted to verify from us if we knew from that list. And Tambe, we used to call him Uncle. He had Uncle written on his bondom here. Bondom is that, like a helmet we wear. So I told them Uncle is Flight Lieutenant Tambe.
That is the way the evidence is gathered.
Well, I'm wondering if there should be there for a prisoner's repatriation, a commission of some kind, somebody who
They have set up a tri-services cell now, but I don't think, you know, they meet once in 3-4 months. I've been trying to get a meeting with them, so I hope I will get a meeting with them.
And joining us today from Karachi is a young woman, and her three brothers are all in an Indian jail, and she has absolutely no idea how to get in touch with them. And Aisha, main aapse puchna chahungi ki aapke teeno bhai Indian territory mein pahunch gaye, wo fishing ke liye nikle the, aapki puri family hi fishing karti hai, to aapko kaise pata chala aur wo is side kaise pahunche? Aisha,
ye jab pakda gaya tha na 10-15 din ke liye jata hai wo, fir 10-15 din ka baat nahi aaya tha, fir ek mahina tak hum log dhoondte hai na usko, fir mila nahi hai. फिर हम लोग ने सुना था, बोलते इसको इंडिया वाला ने पकड़ लिया. फिर ये बात सुनी थी, फिर अकबर में भी सुना था हम लोग ने.
अब आप बताइए कि उनकी फैमिली की देखभाल कौन कर रहा है? उन सबके बीवी बच्चे हैं, उनकी देखभाल कौन करता है?
मेरा अब्बू है, अब्बू का तबीयत भी सही नहीं है. इससे पहले अब्बू का तबीयत खराब हो गया, बच्चा को नहीं देखा ना, अब्बू और भी परेशान हो गया. फिर किराया मकान पे 5 भाई 5 बहन है हम लोग.
और आप बिल्कुल अपने भाइयों से बात नहीं कर पाए?
इस साल तक हम लोग ने उसका शक्ल भी नहीं देखा, रब्ता भी नहीं हुआ.
आपने कोई वकील रखा है, किसी से बातचीत की वहाँ अब ऑफिशियल से? कैसे क्या लगता है, कैसे लाएंगे वापस अपने भाइयों को?
तो हम लोग को तो पता नहीं है कैसे छोड़ेगा, कैसे वो करेगा, रब्ता करेगा.
आपकी कोई मदद यहाँ इंडिया से कोई कर रहा है? किसी से यहाँ पे किसी से कॉन्टेक्ट हुआ?
नहीं, कोई भी मदद नहीं कर रहा.
The apathy of the state?
Both sides.
Yeah.
I don't see why the Pakistan High Commission has not sought access to them. That's the normal right available to any High Commission.
These are people who often live on either side on the margins of society. Even their access to information is so limited. Because Aisha, I want to ask you again. You said that you came back for fishing one day, so how did you know that he was in jail here, Aisha? We heard that we
have been in Karachi here. We have been caught here. वो केस्टी का नाम भी आया था, बंदा का नाम भी आया था, फिर ऐसे पता चला हम लोग को.
आपको मैं सुन रही हूँ, आप बहुत दूर हैं कराची से, लेकिन आपका दुख महसूस हो रहा है, आप काफी नर्वस भी साउंड कर रही हैं, ऐसा क्यों?
बस भाइयों को याद आ रहा.
कुछ संदेश अपने भाइयों के लिए इस प्रोग्राम के जरिए?
बस भाइयों को देखना चाहती हूँ.
दलबीर, आप काफी डिस्टर्ब हो गई है, इनकी एक बहन जो अपनी भाई को देख नहीं पा रही, आपको भी अपनी कहानी इसमें महसूस हो रही है? स्वपन जी, आप सरबजीत की बेटी हैं. दलबीर जी वहां आयशा को सुन रही हैं, वो अपने भाई से मिल नहीं पाई, अब यहां पर उनको अपनी भाई की याद आ रही है, आपको अपने फादर की. आप पानी पिलाऊं आपको? कुछ बोलना चाहेंगे?
हम तो यही चाहते हैं कि जितने भी प्रिजनर्स यहाँ पर है या वहाँ पर है, इंडियंस, सबको छोड़ देना चाहिए. जितना हमें दुख होता है उनकी भी फैमिलीज को उतना ही होता है, और सबका प्यार उतना ही होता है, अपने पेरेंट्स के साथ भी, अपने भाई बहन के साथ भी. इसलिए आज तक हमने सिर्फ जब से पैदा हुए एक बार सिर्फ अपने फादर को देखा है।
तलबीर, आयशा की कहानी सुनकर मुझे लगता है कि इट स्ट्रक अ कॉर्ड विद यू।
जिसने अपने शरीर पर दुख देखा था, जिसे एहसास हुआ था अपने से बिछड़ने का, उसे दूसरे का दुख बहुत आसानी से पता चलता। मैं तो सब उन सभी से कहना चाहती हूँ, सभी बातों को छोड़कर ना जरूर उन लोगों के दर्द को जरूर समझें। खासकर मैं पाकिस्तानी अपने भाइयों से जरूर कहना चाहूंगी, जहां आप इतनी बातें जरूर करते हैं, वहां जरूर उन लोगों से पूछना, खासकर इस आशा से पूछना जिसके 3 भाई पकड़े हुए हैं। अपनों का दुख बड़ा बुरा होता है, उस दुख को जरूर महसूस करो। सियासत अलग छोड़ दो, नफरत को अलग छोड़ दो, सबको अलग छोड़कर सिर्फ ये देखो कि एक इंसान के लिए लड़ना, इंसानियत के लिए लड़ना। आज मैं जब उनको देख रही हूं कि उनके पिता कब से वहां पर हैं, आज वो कितनी साल की हो गई, उस दुख को कहीं महसूस करके देखो। भारतीयों और पाकिस्तानियों सब मिलकर बातें करनी बहुत आसान हो जाती हैं, हम जीरा बहुत आसानी से कर लेते हैं, पर दुख को सहना और सहकर बड़े हो जाना, खासकर अपने बाप और भाई के बिना, खासकर बेटी और बहन को मरने के लिए जगह नहीं मिलती है, वो मर नहीं सकती, वे अपनी बात जरूर कर सकती है, रख सकती है, पर दिल करता है कि काश इससे अच्छा मर जाए।
एक मिनट, दिस इज नॉट जस्ट अ टेक्निकल कॉन्वर्सेशन, आई थिंक इट्स अ मोमेंट टू एक्नॉलेज that there is something about loss that recognizes loss. And while Dalbir was actually holding up with great strength, it was Aisha's story of her 3 brothers that caused her to have this moment. It's loss that mirrors loss. Sonia.
I was just saying that I think what Sarabjit Singh's daughter is saying is perhaps in a way the way we should look forward. You know, the suggestion that Casey Singh is making is of course important. We already have an agreement of consular access that has been in place since 2008. We have a body of a judicial committee that has been in place since 2008. They have submitted their recommendations in 2008 to release all prisoners who have basically served out their time, but nothing has happened. The fact of the matter is that India and Pakistan still haven't resolved Sir Creek, so it's not quite clear what exactly the border
and
is.
That's what,
and these guys just fall into this space and they get picked
into
up.
Into the crevices.
Yeah, and so the responsibility is the government's. And you have, and of course the other fact is that we are incredibly classless society, we all know that. So there's certain people get priority over other people in terms of access.
Casey Singh, it's very difficult to not be moved by these stories of tragedy and loss. I've seen a lot of tragedy in my life, but when you see 2 women across the border being able to connect just in their moment of loss, do you feel that in some ways our politics have failed us?
No, that's true. That's what happens between states. They get ground between turning wheels on the 2 sides. But this is not difficult to implement, that the minute you pick up any citizen of another country, you must notify the High Commission. I mean, this is the done thing. I'm sure it's somewhere in the works.
Sometimes people don't know where to start. The families to whom this happens perhaps don't know where to start. Let's take a couple of questions and then take last comments from our panel. Yes.
I have a question for the Indian experts here about those people whose identities are nebulous. Either they are too mentally unstable to confirm their identities, or they are too young, or they are not claimed by the adversary state at all that they are our citizens. So what is the official Indian policy to deal with such kind of people?
Casey, you want to take that quickly? Because we do have instances. We have mentally unstable Pakistanis.
First the
in
police
Indian
will
jails.
Try, then a court will try. We can't explain where are you from. This happens abroad sometimes. Let me give you an interesting example. Indian women married to UAE citizens or even Saudi citizens, they're given the local citizenship. And the Indian law is the minute you become a foreign national, your Indian passport disappears. Yeah. But their local law is that the minute he divorces, she has to revert to her own citizenship. We have these women who are without any citizenship. So what do you do with them? That is why we need, number one, an amnesty law. Number two, a refugee law.
Yeah.
We treat any people who have come in, it's a compulsory nuisance.
We talk about tragedies, and we have seen a daughter, 2 daughters here. Now the story of a mother whose son actually, perhaps in a fit of depression, that's what it seems, went across and found himself in Pakistan. Hansa Parmar, aaj aap Mumbai se aayi hain, aapka beta Lahore pahuncha. Humne jo padha wo ye padha ki usne pehle apni naukri kho di to wo depressed tha, phir unke father ki death ho gayi to wo depressed tha, aur depression mein wo samjhota express mein baithkar
पाकिस्तान पहुंच गया गलती से
जी,
वहां तो वो अब जेल में है, कितने साल हो गए?
वो 2007 में पता चला और 2008 में मेरे को सीबीआई के लोग आए थे, उन्होंने बताया, उन्होंने इंक्वायरीज की थी कि ये भावेश परमार कौन है, तो मैंने बोला मेरा बेटा है, तो फिर उन्होंने बोला कि उसी के लिए हम लोग आए हुए हैं, और उन लोगों उसको स्टेटस इतना खराब था कि वो एड्रेस नहीं बता सका अपना, सिर्फ कॉलेज का नाम बताया था, और वहां से उन लोग एड्रेस ढूंढ के घर गए
और मेंटली डिप्रेस थे।
yeah.
अब आपकी क्या कोशिश है, कैसे लाएंगे, मतलब उसका पॉलिटिक्स से कोई लेना देना नहीं, इस सबसे कुछ लेना देना
नहीं? नहीं, उसका तो कोशिश नहीं, पर अभी डिप्रेशन में है तो उसके लिए क्या करेंगे, अभी कृष्णा हेगड़े जी और प्रिया दत्त जी हेल्प कर रहे हैं, अब तो केशव शेख के पास भी पहुंच गया था, उन्होंने उसके साथ 15 मिनट बात भी की थी।
उवेश शेख जी यहाँ बैठे हैं और आप इनके बेटे के वकील हैं, कुछ बता सकते हैं?
Yes, I came to know that he was very much attached with his father who was suffering from cancer, and when he died, you see, he took it very
emotionally, yes, emotionally,
or
yes.
became depressed. And one day disappeared. And after 3 years, someone who was a jailmate of Barmar's, Bhavesh, he sent some letter, brought some letter,
and
she came to know that he's there. And I met him, first time I met him in Central Jail, Lahore, and I was really shocked. And it was, you see, the exciting moment. He was so young, he was so smart, an engineer, young engineer of India. How he came there, that is the mystery. I asked him who boarded you in a train. He said, "Mujhe kisi ne bitha diya." Then I asked him, repeatedly asked him, "Do you have any message to send to your parents or mother?" He said, "Meri maa ko ye keh dena, sabko ye keh dena, ki main jald se jald apne ghar jana chahta hoon." So I tell you one thing, I made some efforts, and I please be hopeful, he will be released within 1 month.
Okay, we are hoping. That's a piece of good news. And in many ways these cases are driven by the goodwill of Pakistani lawyers there and Indian lawyers here, so that is something to take note. Aap Hansa Parmar ke neighbor hai, aap usme kuch bolna chahe?
Jab apni government ko 5 saal pehle pata chala tha ki ye ladka thoda mental disturbed hai aur government to bhi 5 saal mein bhi apni government usko wapis la nahi saki, to meri government se guzarish hai, aap thoda bhi human being kijiye, dono desh ke bare mein sochiye, dono feeling, jaise Sarbi ji ki behan ne batayi ki dono ki feelings kuch hai, तो वैसे वो फीलिंग से आप काम कीजिए
जी। कर्ण भाटिया, दीज आर केसेस वेयर इफ समथिंग इज डन नाउ परहैप्स द स्टोरीज कैन हैव हैप्पी एंडिंग्स, बट टू डिग अप हिस्ट्री इज मच मोर कॉम्प्लिकेटेड, इजंट इट? व्हाट कैन द गवर्नमेंट डू ऑन द पीओडब्ल्यू केसेस वी एंटर इन?
आफ्टर द वॉर, 71 वॉर, वी हैड अराउंड 96,000 प्रिजनर्स, वी रिपेट्रिएटेड देम टू पाकिस्तान। हाउ कम 18 प्रिजनर्स of Pakistan are still with India? That is one question which is bothering my head.
Yeah.
I asked my Pakistani friends, and I asked them what they have done. Not much has been done from Pakistan side. Now, there are 4 categories of soldiers, I would say. Firstly, in war, first is, like me, they come from war, they are hale and hearty, they join their battalions, they are with their families. Other is, they are killed, they get the military funeral.
Yes.
Third is the POW,
yes,
which are clear category of people. Through International Red Cross, the lists are exchanged,
yes,
and it is established these people are the POWs. One, the fourth and most unfortunate one is the missing in war. Yeah. Those who are missing in the war in our country, the country waits up to 2 years. After 2 years, if a missing soldier does not come back, he is declared presumed to be dead.
Yeah.
So that the family starts getting pension.
Yes.
Now, I'll illustrate a very sad case on this particular issue. There is one Captain Ravinder Kaura. He stays in Indrapuri, New Delhi.
Yes.
He was missing in the war in Firozpur sector in 1971. After 2 years, he was declared dead, so that he was a bachelor, so that the father starts getting the pension.
Yes, sir.
Now, in 1989 or 90, one Mukhtiar Singh, a petty criminal, he was repatriated to India. Ravinder Kora had given him a letter, which he had hidden in the collar, underneath the collar here. At Wagha border, where the prisoners are exchanged, each side gives the new clothes and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
He could not remove that letter, because he feared if he removes that letter, he might be sent back again to the jail. So he comes back and he tells the media that Ravinder Kora was a prisoner like this with me.
You're saying, therefore, that there might be many instances like this. I have to start ending, but I'll take a last question.
The word spy, why is it such a taboo for India and Pakistan? A James Bond movie releases in Pakistan without any hassles. But an Indian movie like Agent Vinod or Ekta Tiger gets banned.
And the people who actually come back from whatever level of espionage that they were recruited to do, then keep saying the state has disowned us. I'm going to take a last question.
We have seen tragedy, and tragedy in both homes are quite identical. My question is that when we are doing so much to strengthen our bilateral relationship within the two countries, why can't we do the simple thing of informing the fishermen about the demarcations, about the maritime demarcations?
Well, Casey,
she put it very well, that part of the problem may be Sir Creek, because the demarcation is not very clear. But you can have other ground rules. You seize the boat, let the fishermen go, punish them for a certain period, retain the boat. That is punishment enough.
Yeah.
So why do you take human hostages? I think there is a perverse delight.
I'd like to add something there. Yeah. There are 520 Indian boats in Pakistan today, and some 300 and something Pakistani boats. Those boats cost about 30 lakhs to make. So in terms of the way in which this is handled, there's not just that they have actually made recommendations that there should be a fisherman card so that you can be identified and you can present it if you're caught and you can
That's
be sent back.
That's my point. It should be so simple to do.
Simple,
it should be so simple
it.
To do. Just carry an identity. Just carry an identity card. I have to end, Justice Kaju, give you the last word. What can both states do?
After 1947, there was so much propaganda in both countries, this poisoning of our mind, this creating of a poisonous mindset against each other carried on for several decades. But now, fortunately, both Indians and Pakistanis are realizing that we are not devils, and things are improving, that mindset is changing, and I'm sure things will improve in the future.
And I think the important lesson is that some things are easy to do. I'm going to give the last word to this young girl here. Yeah.
So many innocent victims are staying in both the countries' jail. They are the bargaining chips of both the governments. Both the governments are responsible. They are the hostage of politics. So as people of both the countries, what is our responsibility? What we have to do? How we can stress the government to take some action?
Well, I think that one of the lessons is to separate the human tragedies from at least the other more complex, controversial cases. And to the families of prisoners of war, I think we do take the point that while there are states across the world that put all their energies in bringing every soldier home, at least, at the very least, we must all know what happened to the best of our abilities. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching. Thank you.